Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelo
and Sophie Kessler.
Welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. I am so excited to be jamming on this episode with you guys. Dan is not here, but I do have a really, really special guest who I am so, so elated to be introducing to each and every single one of you. So her name is actually Amber Rumi. I'm butchering it again.
Rumaniac. It's okay.
There we go. I always get stuck on the last names. But she is just an absolutely amazing woman. A lot of her media coverage, you've lost and gained over 1,000 pounds in weight and working through a lot of the binge eating, a lot of the food kind of disorders and just like all the hormonal pieces that come with that, especially when it comes to like the gut health and digestive issues. And what you've been able to create for yourself, especially when it comes to mind eating and self-care and just like the body empowerment has been absolutely phenomenal. So I'm just so grateful to have you on this episode.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I want to just go ahead and dive in and just give anyone on this episode who doesn't yet know you or know of your background a little bit of a like short synopsis about who you are and where you came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So I live in or just outside of Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And essentially for me, I had a very unhealthy relationship with food for a very long time. And what inspired me to create my business and become an expert within emotional eating, digestion, hormone, self-care, and really that whole self-love, weight, body love journey was my own experience with food and my own self-hate toward my body. And so a couple of milestones that kind of really impacted the way that I grew up and the relationship that I had with food. First of all, when I was 5 and I got on the bus the first day, the older boys called me fat and ugly, and I really took on that identity. I feel like when you're that young and vulnerable, it's just so easy to hear what a stranger says and go, well, they don't know me. It must be true. Especially when you don't know what self-confidence is. I don't know if a lot of 5-year-olds know what it is, but I definitely didn't at that point. And so I took it on and I really had this identity of must be fat, I must be ugly. And so from there on, I loved food because it never called you names. It never disappointed. It always tasted really good. And there was always a form of comfort there. And growing up as well, my mom also had a very emotional relationship with food. She was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis before I was born. So for her, I think part of her way to try to cope with that and to also compensate for things she couldn't do with me was food. And so then therefore, here I am associating food with everything else. And I started probably dieting at the age of 10. And then fast forward to my early 20s, I had a breakup happen and figured, well, if I just have the perfect body, everything will be perfect. And so I started to restrict and I started to lose weight very quickly and overexercise. And I hit that quote unquote goal weight and I became even more critical of myself and my period disappeared and like all these negative things happened, even though I assumed this would be the thing that would fix everything and it didn't. And so then I kind of went into this mentality of like, this is way too difficult to attain. So screw it all. I want to eat what I want to eat. And then it's like this switch flipped and I started deep into binge eating, like purposefully being like, I want to eat 6 cupcakes and then I want to go and get a pizza and I want to eat like 5 chocolate bars. And it was just like uncontrollable. And I quickly gained about 50 pounds in 4 months. And just completely isolated and felt so insecure. And then it was that period of 5 years where I gained and lost over 1,000 pounds because it was like I'd go up and then I'd have a period of time where I just was in complete loss of control with food. And then my low point was one night after finishing a binge, just being in complete pain on the couch, crying and thinking, I don't want to die. I don't want to slowly kill myself with food. I'm always bloated. I don't feel well. I'm overweight. I hate my body. And it was actually when later on that night, I had gone digging through the garbage to eat more of the food that I realized something had to change. I just had no idea how to get there and what that would look like. But I started to embark on this journey of like starting to try to understand, why am I binging? Why do I have trouble handling stress or feeling my emotions? Why am I so addicted to sugar and like cheese and bread? And like once I start eating these things, it just feels like there's this high and I can't stop. How did these foods impact my digestion? And so it's like I was my own guinea pig and I just started learning and reading and researching and trying all these different things. And obviously with a lot of ups and downs, multiple failures. ended up overcoming my food addiction and really understood how emotional it was. And it really came from this lack of self-love, this void that I had that I didn't know how to fit in any other way. And really coming to know that and understand that it's actually a very emotional journey, it really made me realize how many other people, men and women, but really women, are struggling with body image, assuming, oh, once I'm a certain weight, then everything will be perfect. And how that obsession with weight and diets and quick fixes and fad eating styles can consume days, months, and years of your life. And then you look back and go, oh my gosh, like that just ate up 5, 10, 50 years of my life. But unless we have either a huge wake-up call or we're tired of suffering, it can be difficult to stop. So that's what inspired me to go, you know what? I've been through this. I have the brain of an emotional eater, a food addict, whatever you want to call it. I can so deeply understand and resonate what my clients are going through. And that's what inspired me to start my business just over six years ago and specialize in emotional eating, digestive, and hormone issues. And, you know, I went to this Canadian School of Natural Nutrition and have that holistic nutrition background. But to me, what's so valuable is just that, like, the brain that I have and that understanding. So that's what has inspired me to come to where I am today. And obviously, as I continue to like do my deeper work, it just becomes more and more relevant how powerful the mindset is and the ego or the self-sabotaging mindset. Freedom is possible for anybody.
I love this, and I resonate with so many different pieces. Maybe not so much to the extreme, but definitely having my own experiences. And for those of you that have been following my journey, you'll remember in 2018 when I really got serious about wanting to do bikini comp training and actually get on stage, and went through about 9 months of like intense training with both diet and exercise. And it was interesting looking back, because it was like, prior to that, I had always like struggled with body image stuff, but I had arrived at a place where like I had felt like I had a good relationship with my body and with food, but I wanted to be someone like better, because I thought like a lot of us do, that's going to be the tipping point, right?
Yeah.
And then throughout that process, along with like many other factors, it was just developing so much anxiety and adrenal fatigue from the lack of nutrition and from the overexertion and exercise. And I ended up developing a lot of the binge eating habits and patterns, which I had no idea was a thing prior to then. And I didn't even realize what it was until like months later when I was in the recovery of it and I dropped off. So the work that you're speaking to and what it is you do is so powerful for not just the extremes of it, but also just for like the everyday pieces of it. Because I feel like, especially for women, and I know for men as well, or really mostly to women, because I am one, the whole concept, and it feels like the undertone of all of this, it comes down to really like the way that we're trained in society to like really love ourselves and to really see ourselves and how we take care of ourselves and how we value ourselves. And coming back to like that starting point of being a young kid, I remember, gosh, being 7, 8 years old and looking at other people and like judging them based off whether they were fat or skinny. And that was the way that like people were separated back then. And then it just like got more and more nitpicky the older you got.
It's true. It's very true. And I just think that most of society, like there's a stat, 90% of the female population in North America has struggled with some form of body image or like eating disorder. And that's a profound stat. And, you know, little girls as young as 5 are now dieting because of social media influence and like having social media accounts. And it's staggering. And whether it is extreme or whether it is, you're like snacking throughout the day and you don't even realize you're doing it, but that's adding up and impacting your digestion and your confidence. It's something that does end up at some point really consuming a lot of your mental focus and your emotional focus. And then that starts to impact your confidence and self-worth and how you're showing up in every area of your life, including your business or career or as a mom or a friend or a wife, whatever that is. And the impacts just can be very draining and detrimental. And as you've experienced, also physically exhausting as well.
Yeah. And I think this is the piece that like we oftentimes forget about, because we disassociate like our body, our nutrition to every other aspect of our life.
Yeah.
And this is a huge piece of like what I work with my clients on, is it's like the work that you do with people and what they're experiencing is not just in the field of what you're doing with them, is impacting their relationships, their finances, their career, their family, their friends, their everything. So if we get into the scope of this, and you know, I'll speak to my experience specifically, and I know you have your own as well, but it was very much so like the fact that I was having panic attacks on a daily basis, and that I was binge eating, and that I was having like massive fatigue. I could hardly get through days. And that massively impacted my ability to be able to show up to my clients and be able to deliver and being able to actually like have relationships of any sort. So it was like this huge byproduct of really like the undertone of me not really understanding the behavior patterns, where they were actually coming from, and trying to just like fix this thing when it was really actually the, I guess we would call it like the surface level issue, when underneath was like something so much deeper.
Oh yeah. And it's always like the tip of the iceberg. Like you can see the top, but there's so much more beneath. And I think that's what is a huge miss in society, is like the diet industry is a multi-trillion dollar industry. They're not educating or creating programs in a way that are going to help you get below and see all of what is underneath, that you have no idea how those things are fueling the vicious cycle of like dieting or restriction or stress eating or emotional eating. And that's why I think it's so important to start to take a step back from what for some people may feel like such a diet obsession or a diet addiction, where it's like, oh, I just need to do keto. Oh, I just need to cut out sugar. Oh, I just need to eat perfectly and everything will resolve itself. And to actually go, what's behind the needing to hop on the diet? What's behind needing to restrict your food or not allowing certain foods or having food fears, which has become a very prominent thing now with such restrictive eating styles being so popular? So I think it's so important to understand what's the driving force behind needing to go to the restriction and the diet, because that then, that it's not realistic to attain perfection. And so then there you are falling off the wagon for whatever the reasons are. And then you're binging or you're overeating and you're eating all the things that you're quote unquote not supposed to or allowed to have. And then there's this panic of like, oh my gosh, I've gained weight. I failed. Now I need to try something else and try to be perfect with it. And it's that vicious cycle that can just continue going on and on and on for people. And then what ends up happening? Your digestion gets stressed out. You create inflammation. You're bloated. Your pants aren't fitting properly. And then the hormones start to get stressed out. You end up with the cortisol issues. You end up with the thyroid imbalances. For some women, it's their progesterone and estrogen goes all wonky and they're missing their cycles or they're not able to get pregnant. And what starts as, again, as what seems so innocent, it just can create this perfect storm of imbalances, both physically and emotionally, spiritually. It's profound, the impact it has on your health. And then, you know, when I talk to different women and they go, oh, well, I'm trying all these things, but nothing's working, but they're not addressing the root. They're just hopping on a bunch of supplements or they're reading a book. Their intentions are good. But I just think it's so important to get to the root, because a lot of these other things that we may be trying to do may not actually work at all if we don't address the root, which is the stress from the overbooked schedules, the perfectionist mindset, the emotional eating, things like that.
Yeah, it's a big one. And what was coming up while you were sharing about this is there's almost like this all or nothing mentality.
Yes.
That so many of us are operating from when it comes to just diet, nutrition, fitness as a whole. We're either like all in fucking killing ourselves or we're just like completely on the other end of the spectrum. And then my issue with it was running into the program or the pattern of like completely neglecting any kind of like nutritional standards and completely going the direction of like quote unquote intuitive eating. My perspective of it, where I wasn't actually eating for health, I was just eating based off of like whatever I felt like, which was coming more from an emotional place of eating versus from a place of like actually feeling my body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we go from one extreme to the other, and then we call the other extreme self-love, because like overtraining and overdoing this is not self-love. But it feels like, especially with what you're speaking to, there's this beautiful harmonization. And there's actually a middle ground where you don't have to be on the extreme of either end, because the extreme either way isn't actually healthy.
Correct. Yeah. And you know what's so fascinating is a lot of my clients talk about this as well, is they'll fall off the wagon, quote unquote, and binge or emotionally eat. And then they think that all of a sudden going really clean with food and going to the gym is the fix, is that self-love, when it's actually punishment. Any reason to eat a certain way or exercise because you need to compensate, yeah, it is not self-love at all. So I'm glad that you brought that up. This really comes down to, for most people, that all or nothing, that's the perfectionist mindset. And to more deeply go into those layers below that, it is usually there's this huge fear, this fear of being judged, a fear of not being good enough or just not feeling worthy or good enough, but especially a fear of being judged by others and or people putting all of their need to be validated into other people. So my happiness is tied into what you think of me or what my best friend thinks of me, instead of me knowing deep down that I am enough and I am worthy and I don't need validation from others, right? So what are we doing? We're trying to people please. We're trying to prove. We are, again, in that perfectionist mindset. We're overbooking our schedule, saying yes to everyone else, and sadly, no to ourselves. And again, all that exhausts us and overwhelms us. And then food just becomes such an easy outlet to go to because it's so fast, easy, convenient, and delicious, right? It excites the same parts of the brain as a hard drug, some different foods. And so you produce that serotonin and dopamine and you get what feels like a higher pleasure response when you eat those foods. And so it's like we go to that because it's easy. And what seems so, there's a lot of resistance toward, well, I don't want to feel my emotions. I don't want to deal with my stuff. I don't want to make more time for myself because that's going to make me feel guilty, right? I'm trying to like, I got to make sure everyone else is happy and I don't want any confrontation or conflict. So I'm just going to stay on this route because I'm too scared to upset other people by setting boundaries and taking care of myself. And there's a huge breakdown there because that just, again, it kind of almost dissects you or like disconnects you more from yourself. Because again, how could you possibly have optimal physical, emotional, spiritual, mental, even financial health if you are literally spreading yourself so thin that you have nothing left to give to yourself? But it starts with that emotional self-worth piece. And if we don't have that, there are all sorts of patterns and actions that we are taking from that place of fear, insecurity, desperation, whatever that is. And we're continuing to repeat those patterns and strengthen them. And then that's why they can feel so difficult to change. Especially if that perfectionist mindset comes in because it's going, oh, well, if you have to change it, you've got to do it fast and you've got to go big. And so then it seems really scary rather than just like being reasonable and going, okay, I'm just going to baby step and I'm just going to go one little step at a time, right? But that when that all or nothing comes in, it's like go big or go home, which keeps people stuck, I think.
Yeah, this is a big one. I feel like for a lot of people that usually tune into this podcast, there's a lot of you out there who are very much high achievers. And we probably run very similar programs because they're not actually our programs, right? They're collective programs of fear and of lack and of scarcity. And these typically tend to be programs of impatience, which is a really big one. We want it all now.
Yes.
Better yet, we want it yesterday. And when we're operating from that program, that's where we oftentimes feel a lot of that fear coming in. So if it's not happening right now, we're under the illusion that it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. So it feels like there's a few different dynamics that we could dive a little bit deeper into, especially for a lot of those are those high achievers that are a little bit of those, I don't want to label, but tend to run programs of perfectionism.
Yeah.
Right. And what's interesting is it can become confusing a lot of times when these programs have served us in a certain way, right? Or perceived to have served us in a certain way. When they've created a certain level of quote unquote success, depending on what your definition is. And then we kind of look like, and I know my issue was, well, the diet quote unquote worked because it got the result sort of, but was I actually happy? Was I actually fulfilled? Yeah. So a few things we can dive into here is number one, like how are we actually defining something working and what success is when it comes to our health, to our body, and just to nutrition in our lives in general. And then number two, how are we actually creating the associations with these programs and whether or not they are actually serving us with where we're at and where we actually want to be in life?
Yeah. And I think the answer to almost kind of both those questions, I feel like, again, we're so conditioned, as you mentioned earlier, we want it now, we want it yesterday, we want the quick fix, I want to lose weight quickly, I'm going on a trip in a month, I need to drop 20, 30 pounds really fast, what can promise me to do that? So I think one of the biggest problems is people are so obsessed or consumed with that quick fix mentality that they don't, we aren't in tune. We're not taught how to listen to our bodies or have awareness to go, oh, I have this symptom. My body's talking to me. She's trying to tell me something. We don't learn that in school. We don't learn that anywhere unless you yourself are inheriting that information from someone else who knows it or you're working with somebody. So again, one of the breakdowns is when we're going, oh yeah, I associate that diet works, I lost the weight, but how come then in a few months you're putting it back on, right? Or you did that diet, but now, again, you got some short-term results, but now you're having all sorts of cravings, or now your cycle is gone, or you're now exhausted, or your digestion is not feeling good at all. But to you, what ends up happening is often those symptoms are not as important as losing the weight to look perfect so my life will be perfect. So I think people just put all the other stuff over into the corner for as long as they can until it gets unbearable or until something serious happens. because again, it's just such a narrow focus. I've got to lose weight. I've got to look a certain way. I want to look perfect. I want to be the perfect weight, especially if you've achieved what seems like quote unquote the perfect weight before, and then you lost it. And there's just this like dwelling of like, oh, I wish I was the weight I was 5 years ago or a year ago or 10 years ago. And I'm going to hang on to all those clothes in my closet because it's just that I have to try harder. I just have to do better. And if I know if I do better this time, I will get there again. It's like we're hanging on to the past and we're just dragging it along with us. And you're exhausted. You're not sleeping well. You have the cravings, the digestive issues, the hormone imbalances. You may have no idea about. You're irritable. You just don't feel like yourself. But you still are so convinced, or your ego has you so convinced, that you just have to try harder on the diet. When I see all these influencers and people promoting certain diets, they're not going, oh, and by the way, like, we're not thoroughly assessing your health. So PS, this may give you digestive issues or fuel binge eating or whatever. They're not doing that because they want to sell their products, right? But in the background, unfortunately, people are suffering so deeply on all levels, but they're still convinced, I just have to be perfect on the diet. I just have to lose the weight. I have to have the perfect exercise routine. So I just think there's such a miss with society and what we're taught pertaining to nutrition and exercise, and you just have to eat less and exercise more to have a calorie deficit. I think that that's actually very untrue for the majority of the population, of especially the people that I connect with. Because there's actually so many blocks that get in the way when someone is trying to lose weight. And everyone's trying to lose weight for all the wrong reasons. It's all vanity and external rather than, you know what, I'm actually going to put the weight loss to the side and I'm going to actually focus on building a healthy relationship with myself, with food. I'm going to stop dieting. I'm going to understand how I can balance my digestion and investigate my hormones. I'm actually going to focus on this, because as I focus on all of these pieces, it's like that weight or that protection, I refer to weight as protection, it actually just falls off when the body feels calm enough, safe enough, supported enough. We don't have to force the weight loss when we actually focus on getting healthy and becoming in tune with our bodies.
You brought up a few really juicy points that I want to dive in and just like total mic drop moment too. So it feels like one of the concepts that's coming up is there's almost like an overvaluing of the vanity of weight loss versus the other metrics of health. We put so much emphasis on the weight loss and the body fat percentage that we completely negate any other component or measurement of health. And that's kind of the only way that we're measuring it, regardless of like if our hormones are out of balance, our gut health is completely out of whack, or now we're actually having inflammation to the foods that we used to never have any problem with. So I think that's the first thing. And then the other thing that came up is it feels like in my experience, there's different levels of consciousness that people arrive at and are moved through, where they are, the word that comes up is like, receptive to really understanding what this means and what this looks like. And oftentimes there's a lot of people who hear it, but they're not quite in a space where they're ready to receive it. Right.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I think where it comes down to is some people have to be in a space where the fear of change, like the suffering has to become bigger than the fear to change in order to change. And for some people, it's like, you know what, this fear is, I'm so done with dealing with this fear. It is creating so much suffering for me. You do have to be ready to take on a different level of information for sure. And no one can make you ready but yourself. I just think at the same token, if you've been stuck in the same cycles for such a long time, whether it has been months, weeks, or years, and you're continuing to get the same results and it's driving you crazy because, again, you keep doing the same things and getting the same results is the definition of madness. And think of all the money you're spending and all the, again, the physical, the emotional costs as well, and how it is impacting every area of your life. You really have to take a step back and go, what am I afraid of by taking a different path? Yes, this has felt like a comfort zone for me, but there's also a lot of suffering here. So wouldn't it be great to have balance and to learn how to undo these old mentalities and not have to diet and have like healthy indulgence as well, and be able to lose the weight without starving yourself or killing yourself in the gym or going on some extreme diet? What if you could have the best of all the worlds and learn how to do it in a healthy way and build a healthy relationship with yourself, build confidence, and see how that positively impacts every area of your life. Like, I think a lot of people, again, just don't feel like they're worthy or good enough. And like you said, they've just been so conditioned to think there's this one way to do this. This is the only way. This is all I know because it's all I've tried. And so that's why I think it's so important for society to become more open, to be open to trying different things, to find their courage within themselves to take a different path. And again, it's to just go slowly. I don't believe in force. I don't believe in rushing people. I don't judge people of where they are on their journey. It's being willing to just create the safe, comfortable space and be a voice for people like, I hear you. You don't have to be embarrassed or ashamed. And you totally are worthy to have these results, to achieve these and to maintain them for life, right? But we have to take a different approach and work on a deeper level. So instead of just what's on your plate and, you know, what's in the gym, let's talk about your emotions. Let's talk about your mindset. Let's look at your schedule. If there's no white space in your schedule and you're that overbooked, I can guarantee you that is fueling all these other pieces, right? So depending on the person, it'd just be taking a bit of an approach that appealed to that person. So it's like, if you are the overachiever, I'm not saying you have to stop making goals and stop striving for your dreams. I'm just saying you can do that, but let's also make sure that you're taking care of yourself so that you have the like long-term sustainability to continue on with those other pieces, right?
I love that you brought this up because I feel like what comes up for a lot of overachievers, or at least people that are running the overachiever program, they almost associate like slowing down with like failure or being wrong, or like there's so many negative connotations that they have towards this. And it's the same kind of thing when we get into like self-love and taking care of yourself, because it's like, if I'm not working myself to the bone and if I'm not going like super hard 24/7, have I really earned this? Is it actually going to work? Like, me taking time off is actually working?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's where I think, again, if your self-worth is still tied up in something outside of you, whatever your work is, however much money is in your bank account, the kind of car you drive, the kind of clothes you wear, like I'm all for nice things and abundance, heck yes. But what I have outside of me and the work I've achieved in my business does not define who I am as a person, because I'd still have adrenal fatigue, right? Like if I was in that overachieving mentality and I'd be exhausting and I'd probably be manifesting quite a bit of lack into my life, because I'm a big believer in the law of attraction and what you put out, you get back. And if you don't have the capacity to take care of yourself, how could you possibly show up in your business or your career and do what you need to do there if you are exhausted and unwell and feeling insecure? So I think it's so important to go, what if, you know, my building my self-worth and building my confidence actually helped me to realize I don't have to be in an overachieving mindset and I can actually work less and create more success. Right? The health of myself, I really believe your health determines the health of your abundance, your business, your career, your success. And so it's like, what if you can have both health and success and you don't have to sacrifice one for the other, but it's actually this getting into this mentality of like work less and make more, attract more, because you're grounded, you're in a high vibration, you're feeling more positive because you physically and emotionally feel better about yourself. And that's when I find things really start to flow and you're effortlessly attracting. And you don't have to, again, like work harder, you know, it's like work smarter. But again, these are different levels of stepping out of your comfort zone, stepping into a different path, a different focus. And so again, in the beginning, maybe like, yep, definitely lots of resistance, don't want to do it. It doesn't resonate for me. I'm scared. That's all normal. Because I really believe we all have this mindset that I've mentioned a couple times called the ego. We all have this self-sabotaging mindset that wants us to suffer and wants us to suffer to the point where we are just so deep in fear and anxiety and panic and worry and guilt and anger that it sabotages every area of our life. So if we can understand we have this part of us that can actually be such a valuable teacher, but that it's fueling the perfectionism, the overachieving, the exhaustion, the emotional eating, and we can actually understand like, oh, but if I can learn how to understand what triggers me to give my power away to my ego, and I can then learn to understand how to take my power back, I realize that this isn't the way life has to be. It's not just what it is, right? It's not poor me and I'm the victim and like this is happening to be because this is what's meant to be. It's like, no, there's an opportunity for you to see yourself and this mindset in a whole completely different way. And when people wake up to that and are open to that, again, the transformation that happens is exponential. It is so powerful because you now realize it's okay if I have days where I feel fear or anxiety, or have days where I'm not on the top of that overachieving game. And I can actually love myself just as much as those days where I'm on it and everything's flowing and I'm getting everything done and I'm feeling so confident. I think one of the biggest things that I've learned on my journey as of late is it's safe for us to feel. There's nothing wrong with that rainbow of emotions, whatever it is. And we don't have to get rid of it right away, right? I better like go tap or like meditate it out of me. It's like, well, no, what if there's something for me to learn here? What if I just need to sit in it? What if I'm feeling the collective energy of the world today and I just have to sit in it, right? So I think that's true unconditional love, is when we can actually just fully sit with what is going on as you build that awareness and you don't have to force it to change, or that you're not allowed to like be a certain, you know, emotion or feel something. I think that's just so important.
Yeah, you're touching on a huge piece. And it's like, it's this component of allowing ourselves to be multidimensional human beings and feel the full spectrum of emotions, especially the less desirable emotions. Because I think what happens is we have negative associations to these less desirable emotions, right? We say, oh, there's sadness, or there's anger, or there's, you know, fear or anxiousness coming up. And want to avoid it. We want to suppress it. We don't want to experience it. Yeah. And what you shared, it's like, A, it's safe to feel. It's safe to feel.
Yeah.
And B, what are my triggers trying to teach me? Right? How can I connect to myself deeper? How can I love myself even more when these triggers and when these less desirable emotions are coming up, and I can expand into an even greater version of myself?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And what happens when you do that is you end up having more peace. You can sit in whatever you're feeling and you can embrace it without judgment. And you realize, oh, I don't have to numb this down with food or shopping or hard drugs or whatever it is. You can actually sit with it and see that the world doesn't end. Nothing bad happens to me when I feel this. And it's almost like this confidence gets built of like, oh, I can feel this. Wow, it's okay. Everything's okay. I can do it. And I didn't need to like punish myself or hurt myself because I'm feeling a certain way. And I think that's a huge step towards starting to build like self-respect and self-love, and starting to fill that void, is just giving yourself permission to practice feeling and not having to do anything with it or distract yourself in any way to avoid it.
And I think the reminder for those of you listening right now is it's having the discernment. And I find that discernment is key. And where are you staying in an emotional state longer than you need to?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And kind of getting stuck in it versus being in it, getting the lesson, and then moving through it. Right? And I think that's kind of the piece where a lot of people are like, well, I don't want to feel it because I don't want to get stuck in it and come out of that. And that only happens when we get stuck in like these victim mentality and become, what's the word I want to use here? We become used by our emotions versus using our emotions.
Yes, exactly. And I think one of the biggest ways that we can avoid getting stuck in it is, again, by not overbooking our schedule and not consuming ourselves with so many other things. Because, again, how can you possibly work through and use your tools and work through those emotions to release them if you're not dedicating the time to connect with yourself and go, whoa, I've been feeling this for a little while. Okay. Yeah, I know that these kinds of tools or these kinds of self care really help to ground me and make me feel good and help me to release these emotions, right? But if we're not taking that time, it gets very easy to get overwhelmed, to get ungrounded. You're way up out of yourself. And then that's where, again, the panic, the anxiety, the cortisol spikes, all that stuff happens. And from there, it just can fuel so many other symptoms. So I just think that that's so important. We have to be willing to take the time.
Yeah. I love that you bring this up, because it's a huge piece of what I share with my clients is it's almost like building an embodiment system, right?
Yeah.
How are you creating a lifestyle that fuels the type of embodiment you want to have?
Yes.
Versus like... The way that I'll frame it for people is you're building your life around your business versus building your business around your life.
Yes. Yes. I couldn't agree more. Yeah. Don't let your business run you, run your business, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it kind of just comes back to that whole mentality of like, okay, it's really about a few things: slowing down and this deep sense of trust. Trust ourselves, trust with source. trusting that it's like everything is happening perfectly. And if I fully believed that and everything was always happening in my highest good, mm-hmm. then I wouldn't be coming from these places of fear, lack, doubt, or certainty or uncertainty or scarcity. And I'd be able to trust the process to move through my emotions, to experience whatever is present, and to find the learnings in it.
Yeah. I love that you say that because I think that's so profound, because as people start to embrace that mentality and open up to that trust and are open to the failures and the learnings from that, when they do have what feels like a breakdown or they're feeling kind of down about something, they're like, wow, you know what? I'm actually really happy that that happened because I learned this about myself and I took this action step and I made this empowered change. They actually start to see the failure or the breakdown as something so valuable. There's so much growth and so much learning. And again, it adds to their identity, this new identity that they're building of themselves. And so it does get to this point where you can step back and go, I do trust the universe. I do trust the universe has my back. And there's something for me to learn here. And I'm open to that. But we have to be open. We cannot be closed and resistant. And again, in that victim mode to have those kinds of breakthroughs. But what is so powerful is when you can start to recognize that you're feeling resistant to doing your self-care or blocking your schedule or saying no. And you can actually go, oh, I can feel this tightness in my chest. And oh, I just feel like I want to procrastinate. Because again, that awareness inspires you to go, oh, I'm feeling resistance. Oh, that's okay. I can actually walk through that invisible wall of resistance and go and do that anyway. Right. And then you feel better because you're going, wow, I didn't hold myself back. And I actually worked through that thing, whatever it was, because I didn't block myself. That's where being in tune and being aware is so valuable, because if you don't know, then what can you do about it?
Yeah. And it's just this, it feels like it's this piece of like, it all comes down to really just being willing to evolve.
Like, yes.
To shift, to grow, to release, to shed, to let go, to make space.
Yeah.
And that can be really scary, especially when we got really familiar with what is.
Oh, yes. Even if it's completely draining us or not good for us, it's so true. I feel like there is a good chunk of society that seems to thrive off of drama and thrive off of negativity. But once you realize how much more energizing and uplifting it is to thrive off of growth and working on your stuff and taking responsibility for your stuff, you begin to see the world in a whole different way. And I think regardless of what's going on in the world, you can actually trust that, like, I'm doing my part, I'm doing my work. And that has, again, a collective positive impact on the rest of the world, rather than thinking it's in someone else's hands, right? To like control that or make the difference. Like it's in each of our individual hands to make the difference. And so I think that's why it's so important that if you are struggling with these mindsets or the habits with food or the weight obsession, there's a huge opportunity for you to take a step back and look within yourself and see what needs to change so that you can have the freedom that you're seeking versus blaming it on everyone else. Because I definitely used to do that. Oh, it's that person's fault that I binged. It's that person's fault that I'm knee deep in ice cream right now, when it actually was me not knowing how to cope.
Yeah, 1,000%. And so as we're getting to the end of our time here for this episode, what is something that you want to really leave our listeners with? I mean, we covered a ton in the last 40, 45 minutes here. But if there was one thing that you really wanted them to hear, them to know, what would that be?
I think it is that, A, you're not alone. It's okay if you have all the idea or no idea where to start. But it is that for you to experience the love, the confidence, the health, the success, whatever it is that you're seeking to experience, it's just for you to just start going inside, like go inside and do some of this work at your pace and just take your time. I always say to people, give yourself at least a year or more. Like, this is the most valuable journey you will ever go on, because it's your journey. It's your life's work, which is the most beautiful work you can ever do. So start small and take baby steps and know you're not alone. It's not luck. Like, it's not certain people on this earth that are lucky that get to like have the success and the healing. No, it's actually you choosing that you want that too, because everybody can have it if they are open to it.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, and so
thank you.
If anyone wants to find you or to connect with you, what's the best way for them to find you?
Yeah, so they can find me on my website at amberapproved.ca. You can also listen to my podcast. It's called the No Sugarcoating Podcast, and you can subscribe anywhere And on Instagram, I'm Amber Romaniuk, which is my name. It's Romaniuk. And if you're curious, if you are struggling with emotional eating, I have a quiz on my website. So that's something that you can do. And it just gives you a bit more insight to see if that's something that's going on for you. So yeah, that's where people can find me.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for just taking the time to drop in and just jam with us. I know we started with like emotional eating, and then we got into like the actual quantum mechanics and quantum physics of it when it comes to really, this isn't about that. It's about something so much deeper.
Yes. Thank you for opening up to that, because I just think the more we are open to all the levels of healing, again, it just gives you more success, more freedom, more peace. And you really get to live a full life when you're in that space, regardless of what gets thrown your way.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're such a beautiful embodiment of that too.
Oh, so. Thank you. So are you. Likewise.
Yeah, right. Doing it. We're doing the work.
Yes.
And reminder, guys, it's still doing the work. It doesn't end.
Still doing the work. It never ends. But certain things that feel like they were impossible become a lot easier.
1,000%. So thank you so much, love. If you guys have any questions, feel free to reach out. Check out Amber on Instagram. If you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and reshare it. We love, love, love seeing you and getting tagged by you guys. Otherwise, have an amazing day, and we will talk to you guys on the next episode.